Time Radio. We have the cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your black head, sniff some borax, and enjoy this episode of the show entitled The Three Ghosts.
Lou Cole presents The Shadow, the man of mystery who strikes terror in the very souls of sharpsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. Friends, there's no longer any need for you to rely on guesswork when it comes to buying fuel. Now you can get the best fuel for home use, and know it at a glance, too. For Blue Coal, the finest of Pennsylvania hard coal, is colored a harmless blue at the mines for your protection, so that you can identify it instantly. To be sure that the fuel you buy is a safe, healthy, economical fuel, get America's finest anthracite. Ask for Blue Coal by name. Order your supply tomorrow.
Eight, nine. This is the hour, my dear.
I can't stand it, I tell you. Always at 9 o'clock it comes. But if I hear that horrible thing again, I'll go crazy. Oh, this awful house.
But it's quiet, my dear. Way out in the country like this, I can install my laboratory here as soon as I get around to it. As for these strange sounds, well, haunted houses have always fascinated me. I've always wanted to meet a ghost. Shake hands with him. Invite him to tea.
Stop talking like that. It's serious. Oh, I've tried to stand it for your sake, Arthur. But I don't know how much longer. My heart isn't strong and I... Hear it?
But that's only the wind, isn't it?
No. It always starts like that. You know it does.
Don't move. Listen.
Arthur, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
A ghost, eh? Well, we'll see. I'll meet him this time. I'll meet him halfway, too.
Stop! Stop!
Come. We'll both meet him. Give me your hand.
No!
Carolyn. Carolyn, it stopped. Can't you hear me? Goodness me. Has the shock killed her? No, her heart still beats. She's only fainted again. Just passed out.
It's that big house set on the hill.
May I ask, Margot, the reason for this late call on Carolyn Sneed?
I'd like to know what's the matter with the poor woman. I got an awful shock when I saw her in town last week. She looks positively haggard. I never saw such a change come over a person.
Married life may not agree with her. She was a spinster for close to 40 years, wasn't she?
I know, but I think she was foolish. Carolyn has nearly $1 million in her own name. She didn't have to marry.
Yes, but... Right now, I'm not the shadow. Remember, I'm just your patient chauffeur, darling. Lamont Cranston, in need of a rest from my famous mystery man role. That last adventure took a lot out of me, you know. Well, a marriage problem is hardly...
Seriously, though, nobody knows anything about this man she married. He came into town 6 months ago, met Carolyn in some accidental manner at the county fair, and proceeded to rush her off her feet. I've met him only once, but I don't like his looks.
Something sinister, I gather. Hence the shadow idea. Well, who is he anyway?
Professor Arthur Sneed, I believe he calls himself. He has a small office in town where he's supposed to be working on inventions or something. Well, here we are.
Hmm. Usually pretty level-headed, Margot, but don't let your aversion for this man we're seeing be too apparent. Dreary place, isn't it?
I don't see any bell. I guess you're supposed to use the knocker. Here he comes.
Well, who is... Oh, it's you, Miss Lane.
Yes. Good evening, Professor Sneed. I hope we aren't too late.
Too late? Too late for what?
Why, I phoned Carolyn that we'd drop in just to say hello.
Well, she didn't tell me. Carolyn isn't feeling well at the moment. I'm sorry. Good night.
Oh, but please, I only want to see her for a moment. That is, unless it's something really serious.
Well, it isn't as serious as she pretends to think it is, but... come in.
Thank you. This is my friend, Lamont Cranston.
Come in. I'm very happy to see Mr. Cranston. I've heard a lot about him.
How do you do?
You say Carolyn is ill? She didn't mention it when
I... came on suddenly. She's been in a nervous condition lately, but it's mostly imaginary. I made her go to bed.
Well, would it be all right if I saw her?
I suppose so. Go on up if you like.
Well, thanks. I'll only be a few minutes, Lamont.
What seems to be the trouble with your wife, Professor Sneed?
Oh, she's run down, I guess. Frightfully nervous. She has some absurd notion that this place is, haunted.
Haunted?
It's only the wind, of course, and the creaking of an old house.
Mm.
Ghosts. She keeps talking about ghosts. And I can't persuade her that there are no such things.
Of course, old houses have a habit of getting themselves haunted, Professor. As for myself, I'm not so sure there aren't such things as ghosts.
But surely, Mr. Cranston...
Oh, not the conventional sort, perhaps, but... I mean people's spirits. Souls, whatever you want to call them. Haunting the places where they've been unhappy.
Very interesting, I'm sure. But a lot of tosh. I put no stock in it.
No? I'm just noticing that rather rare book on the table, Professor. Neuroses of Death.
What?
If you're interested in that, I'm sure you must be interested in ghosts. I understand its morbid analysis of the factors of violent death are quite interesting.
What do you know about it?
Oh, I read all sorts of things, Professor.
Professor, please.
Oh, yes, Miss Lane?
Carolyn wants her sedative.
Oh, yes. I'll go up and give it to her. Did you find her comfortable, Miss Lane?
Well, I think Carolyn is seriously ill.
Yes, but more nerves than anything. Excuse me just a moment, won't you?
Lamont, there's something wrong here. I was afraid there was. I don't know what it is, but it's something terrible.
Well, what's the matter with Carolyn?
Well, she hardly recognized me, and she talks like one in a trance. As though she were in the grip of some deadly fear. When I suggested sending the doctor over, she shook her head, but I'm going to just the same. I can't help feeling it's that man, her husband.
Yes, he isn't very pleasant, is he? His skin has an odd pallor. You see it on men who've spent some time in prison. There are many little traits of his behavior that interest me as a psychologist. A remarkable man.
But you don't know...
I don't know. But I think we'll investigate this more or less formally, Margot. I'll visit the professor tomorrow at his office in town. If there are ghosts involved here, perhaps the shadow can bring them to light.
Hello? Yes, Carolyn. Well, don't worry, my dear. I'll leave the office here at 5 and I'll be home before 6. Yes, I understand. Goodbye, dear. Well, who is it? Is that you, Miss White? Who's opening that door?
Don't get up, Professor. I'll close it after me.
What?
I thought I might find you in.
Who said that? Who are you?
Your conscience speaking, Professor. Or have you a conscience?
I'll show you what I've got.
Don't excite yourself. I'm only a voice. A voice they call... Professor, have you ever heard of the Shadow?
The Shadow?
Yes. You seem to have heard of me.
What do you want?
I've come to warn you, Sneed.
Warn me? Warn me about what?
I know what you're doing.
What?
And I know how it's going to end. The end is death.
Death?
I have something here I'll toss in your lap. There. Do you hear it?
Why, you... Get out of here, I tell you.
See it? Look. It's half of a playing card. The Ace of Spades. When you find the other half, that will be the end.
Get out and leave me alone.
All right, Sneed, I'll go, but don't forget. The Shadow knows.
Trying to frighten me with his tricks. Oh, coming back, are you? Oh, it's you, Miss White.
There are two gentlemen here to see you, Professor Sneed.
Two gentlemen? Well, I'm not expecting...
I guess you may remember us, Professor Sneed.
Spike.
Your old friends, Spike Collins and Mr. Wilson here.
Yes, of course. Please take those circulars on your desk, Miss White, and mail them at the post office right away.
Yes, sir.
Lock that door, right?
Okay.
And what are you staring at, Sneed? We ain't ghosts.
I thought you two were doing a stretch at Leavenworth.
Yeah, we were. But we framed a getaway.
And now we come to see an old pal.
Oh, now listen, Spike. I'd help you if I could.
Nuts.
But...
We've been watching you and we know your game. We ain't got no time to stall. This old dame you married has got plenty of...
I don't know what you're driving at.
Well, you'll know if we squawk about that dame you married out in Idaho that croaked without anybody knowing what was the matter with her.
Cards on the table, Sneed. Is this one signed her money over to you?
Yes. She fixed her will in my favor.
Well, what are you doing to get it?
Well, she has a weak heart and...
I know. Playing ghost and scaring her to death, eh? Well, that's too slow, Sneed. I got a better scheme. We break into the house, stage a burglary, see? In a scuffle, the old dame gets shot, dead. It's quick.
No, no, you can't do that.
No, you'll see.
Spike Collins. Spike Collins. Wake up. Spike Collins.
What? Who's that?
Just a voice, Collins. The voice of your own thoughts coming to warn you. No one but you can hear me. Your friend Sneed is going to double-cross you tonight. Sneed is going to double-cross you. It's your move. Be there to prevent him. Be there in time. 6 o'clock. Be there.
The Shadow will return in just a few moments. While we're waiting, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about the ever-increasing popularity of Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite. Blue Coal is winning new friends every day among New England housewives. They not only like the superior heat of Blue Coal, but they find that it simplifies housekeeping. This is because Blue Coal is so clean. It burns completely and does not send any particles of unburned carbon through the house to be deposited on furniture or woodwork. The drudgery of daily cleaning is reduced to a minimum with this clean fuel. Blue Coal is the largest single brand of solid fuel prepared especially for home use. Each car is laboratory tested at the mines for purity and size before shipment. Blue coal is Pennsylvania's finest anthracite. So that you can personally identify this excellent fuel, it is actually colored blue at the mines. Order it by name. You will find the name of your nearest blue coal dealer listed in the where to buy it section of your classified telephone directory under the name Blue Coal.
Are you comfortable in that chair, Carolyn?
Yes, thank you, Margaret, dear. And I do appreciate your coming out here and staying with me.
I'm glad to do it. But it's 6 o'clock. Your husband ought to be coming home pretty soon, shouldn't he?
He phoned just before you got here and said he was starting. He seemed very agitated. Oh, he's a strange, unaccountable man sometimes. There are things about him I don't seem to understand.
Yes, I know, dear. He has the car, I suppose?
Yes, he's driving. He's probably on his way now.
I've got to think. I've got to think of something. I know. We leave town.
You're driving rather recklessly, Sneed.
You again.
I'm going to haunt you. Try to forget that I'm here in the rear seat. If it annoys you. No, don't look under the seat.
If I could only see you, get my hands on you, I'd show you how much it annoys me. Shut up.
I'm the voice of your conscience, Smead. Perhaps you have a conscience. After all...
I could choke that voice down your throat without any trouble to my conscience.
If you only had the power of second sight, you could see me. That's an invaluable gift, Smead. Being able to see things that other men can't. Some people call it mental telepathy. Some by other names. Remember, I can see the pictures you make in your mind. I told you about that.
You can warn all you like. That's not evidence. Not in court. A lot of wild guesses that don't mean anything.
Well, doesn't it frighten you a little, Sneed? I simply will you not to see me, and you don't. Careful. There's a truck coming down the road. Better sound your horn.
Good Lord, the fool's taking up the whole road.
It's going to hit you. Look out.
It's gone. There wasn't any truck there.
No. I willed you to see it. And you saw it.
No truck at all. Just hypnotism. Gosh, I'm having hallucinations.
But that's the way to dispel hallucinations. Drive straight through them. Be careful. We're near your house. And this old mill road is tricky.
What about it?
Look, Sneed. There's a man in the road ahead of you.
There is, eh? Really?
Why, it looks like one of your two pals that called on you today. I knew he would be here, Sneed.
Really?
You're going to hit him if you don't watch out.
More of your hallucinations. You think that I'll believe you again, don't you? Well, I won't.
Look out!
I hit him.
This time, it was no hallucination, Sneed. Was in front of you.
Hey, Asher.
What's it all about, Lamont? Found dead on Old Mill Road. But that's out of the same place.
Yes, I believe it is. Notorious
criminal struck by automobile and killed. He was certainly struck by an automobile.
I wonder if Sneed knew anything about it. He acted very strange when he got home last night.
Strange? What way?
Well, he was pale and shaky, and he hardly seemed to know I was there. He told Karen that he'd had a message from out of town, and they'd have to pack and leave.
Well, did he say when?
Well, they thought they could get their trunks and things ready by this afternoon sometime. You're not going to let Carolyn go with him, Lamont.
Not if I can help it. Let's see. A little after 9, I imagine Commissioner Weston is rather startled by the morning's news. I think I'll have a word with Commissioner Weston.
Sending Collins' body into the morgue.
You went out there this morning and checked all details, Captain?
Yes, sir, I did. And whoever hit him certainly smashed him up good. His face was all out of shape and couldn't recognize him. But we found these in his pocket.
Now, let's see. Letter from his girl out west, looks like. Insurance policy. Library card of Leavenworth Penitentiary.
And this ring, sir, that Collins always wore, with the figure 8 on it.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a good job done, whoever did it. Tag that stuff and file it.
Yes, sir.
Let me know when the wagon gets here.
Yes, sir.
Police Department, Commissioner Weston speaking.
Good morning, Commissioner. This is your good friend, the Shadow.
Oh, yeah? Well, what the blazes do you want?
To be of a little assistance, as usual.
Yes, I see. I'm getting tired of this rigmarole, though heaven knows things happen when you phone. And what's the assistance today?
Why didn't you investigate the ghost that haunts Sneed House, Commissioner, on the Old Mill Road?
Well, you missed up on that one, Mr. Shadow. I don't put much stock in ghosts, but we went out there and checked up, searched the house. There's no evidence.
No. Go again today, Commissioner. And this time, I think you'll get your evidence.
Is that the last trunk, Arthur?
Yes. The expressman won't be here until 4. Another hour yet. Why don't you go up and lie down a while, Caroline,
Yes, I will. Try to sleep a little now that it's daylight.
You told the milkman we wanted to pay him.
He's coming back before we leave.
Good. Well, that must be him now at the back door. Get back. Get back.
What's the matter, Sneed? Think you're seeing a ghost?
Stop. Don't come near me.
Nuts. Snap out of it, will you? This is me, Spike Collins.
You? Alive?
It wasn't me you hit with your car last night on that back road. I guess you wish it had been, huh?
Who was it then?
It was Rat Wilson. Fool got half pickled trying to get up his nerve for the job. Staggered out on the road before I could stop him, and wham. It was all over.
Wilson, eh?
So that was my chance, see? Him and me about the same size, his face and hands all smashed flat. I put my stuff in his pockets, my ring on what was left of his finger. Here I was, dead. And all that time you was giving me the double cross. And maybe I am a ghost. But I can still deal with you, Sneed.
Who is it, Arthur?
Just a minute, Carolyn. Now listen, Spike. There's only one way to see this thing through. You and I have got to stick together. The Shadow is after us both. We've got to get out together, away from this Shadow.
Don't kid me anymore about the Shadow. You see this cat? I'm here on business and I'm going through with it. Put the old lady out of her misery.
Good Lord.
What's the matter?
There. On the table.
Nothing but a torn playing card. The ace of spades. Or half of it.
You've got to stop it, Spike. You've got to stop it.
Arthur, what's the matter? Who's this man?
Carolyn, this is a friend of mine.
A friend.
Sure, a friend.
But I don't understand. The pistol,
Yeah, that's my way of doing business, lady. Your husband does it different. He's been scaring you to death, ain't he? Making you think the place was haunted. You know how he always does it?
Stop it, Spike.
He used to be an electrician, see? He rigs up a sort of electric sound box with a remote control switch. He usually puts the switch over here by the door. Yeah, there it is.
What's it all about, Arthur?
The Ace of Spades. The end. Death.
When he turns the switch, you hear the ghost dance. All you have to do is turn this knob. That's the way it works, lady.
But I hear it. Arthur, I hear it.
Turn that thing off, you idiot. What? I haven't turned it on. You haven't. Then what's making those sounds?
I am.
What's that? It's him. He's come. A shadow.
I am coming up these cellar stairs. I will enter and stand beside you.
Where is he? Stand back or I'll shoot.
When I enter, I will touch one of you on the shoulder.
Stop him! Stop him!
And that one will die.
Open up there!
It's the cops. Come here, Sneed. It's a friend. You called in the cops.
No, don't shoot, Spike.
The jig is up. You're going to have the bullet I was going to give your wife, you double-crossing skunk.
Oh, you killed him.
Come on, here we are. Go through that side room, boys.
Okay.
Stick him up.
I got him.
I'll stand still or I'll break your arm. Now, hand over that gat.
All right. I'm through. You win.
Spike Collins.
Spike Collins? Well,
I thought he was... He's a fool. Well, I thought you... Say, what is this? Who was that guy that got killed over here last night? Come clean, Collins.
Whoever it was, I didn't do it.
Who's that? Where are you?
Don't be alarmed. I am here behind you, in the shadow.
Oh, so you're here, Shadow, eh? Maybe you know who got killed here last night.
The man killed last night, Commissioner, is a ghost.
Oh, yeah?
There are now two ghosts in this little adventure. Mr. Collins will probably make the third. You really should believe in ghosts now, Commissioner. And in shadows.
And now, before today's adventure with the shadow comes to a close, John Barclay, Blue Coal's own heating expert, is here to give us another of his practical talks on automatic heating. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Barclay.
Good evening, friends. In former Sunday night talks of mine, I've shown you the importance of having the temperature of the home properly controlled with a Blue Coal automatic heat regulator. That is, in terms of health and convenience. Now tonight, I'm going to give a third important reason for automatic heating. Economy. Most authorities will tell you that the proper degree of heat in the home is 70 degrees. Naturally, you can't by hand keep your fire from giving off more than 70 degrees of heat, but the Blue Coal automatic heat regulator can and does. But here's how that saves you actual fuel dollars. Heating engineers have discovered that for every degree you raise the temperature above the desired 70 degrees, your fuel goes up in cost 1.5%. So you see, friends, by automatically shutting off that heat, that extra wasteful, unhealthy heat, heat regulator automatically saves on fuel costs. Why not investigate this Blue Coal heat regulator further? Ask your local Blue Coal dealer to give you a demonstration. The cost is only $18.95 plus a small charge for installation. You'll find it well worth every cent of that and more. Moreover, if you have any heating problems, discuss these also with your Blue Coal dealer. He is the best informed heating authority in your community, and assisted by his John Barkley trained serviceman, can, I'm sure, help you save money and have a more comfortable home this winter. This service is free. It costs you nothing. Thank you.
The Shadow Adventure you have just heard is copyrighted by The Shadow Magazine. The characters in this story are entirely fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Extra! Extra! Hear all about it! Next week, same time, same station. The Shadow's latest adventure! Extra! Extra!
Your announcer, Arthur Whiteside.
Get the feeling shape he never wears pants indoors. Welcome back to Ricky Jin's all-time radio. Now enjoy this episode of Creeps by Night entitled The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan.
We bring you Creeps by Night. Tonight, once again, we introduce the man who has agreed to serve as your guide and companion on these sometimes terrifying pilgrimages into the world beyond the realm of human understanding. The man who, for reasons that cannot be presently explained, must keep his identity a secret. Creeps by Night brings you its anonymous master of mystery, Dr. X. Good evening. This is Dr. X, joining with you for further research into the shadowy darkness of the unexplored, the darkness of the human mind. I wish first, however, to thank you for your letters commenting on last week's broadcast, The Walking Dead. Many of you requested that I reveal my identity, and a few of you hazarded a guess as to who I am. In due time, perhaps, I will be able to step out from under my cloak of mystery. But for the present, I ask you to bear with me, since I shall have to be known only as Dr. X. Tonight, I have a rare treat in store for you. Mr. Edmund Gwenn, the celebrated English actor, is our guest. The story I have chosen is drawn from the casebook of medical science and concerns itself with the often ghastly power of fear. Yes, we are all slaves to fear in one form or another. But the fear that forms the basis for our dramatization tonight is undoubtedly the most horrible of them all. It is the fear of... But wait. Let me draw aside the curtain and bring you Mr. Edmund Gwenn as Ramsay in The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan. Thank you.
For more than a century, the old Jordan house has stood on a gentle slope, mistress of the surrounding 400 acres of birch woods and pasture lands. And now, inevitably, death seems near to the last of the strong men who have always owned it. Aged, irascible Alexander Jordan. In his faded, musty bedroom, the shades are drawn against the hot morning sun. And in the half-darkness, his pale, hollow cheeks blend into the color of the pillowcase. He stirs as the door opens and his doctor enters.
That you, Rutledge?
Yes.
Come in and sit down. Close the door.
What's the trouble, Alex?
Had one of my cataleptic fits last night. A bad one. I'm going to die pretty soon, Rutledge.
Suppose you let me do the guessing.
Don't interrupt. I'm not afraid to die, mind you. I've never told anyone this, but my greatest fear is that it won't be death, and they'll bury me alive.
Oh, I think we can be pretty sure if it comes to that.
Don't be so positive. 38 years ago, a young butcher who called himself a doctor pronounced me dead when I had a cataleptic fit. Near got me buried, too, if I hadn't come out of it on time.
That was 38 years ago.
Could happen again. Rutledge, I don't care if I sound like an old fool. All my life, that scared me. The idea of somebody mistaking one of those fits for death. The only nightmares I ever have, I wake up in a coffin. I put my hands up and I feel the lid there. Sometimes it's wood, sometimes it's cold glass, but there's no room to turn around. I put my hands down and I can feel the silk lining. They have me dressed in a swallowtail. They have a stiff collar on me. I reach up to tear it away. I can't breathe. I have to have air. Panic grips me. I try to shout, but no one can hear me. I beat on the coffin lid with my fists. I try to break the glass, but I can't do it. I haven't enough room. And pretty soon I know that I'm dying. Really dying. In the cold horror of the grave. Because somebody mistook one of my cataleptic fits for death. I don't want that to happen, Rutledge. And that's why I called you.
Oh, you're just getting worked up over nothing, Alex.
Listen to me. When the day comes and my nephew, Ramsey, or his wife, Martha, calls you, I want nobody but you to come, Rutledge. I don't want any other doctor to pronounce me dead. Is that clear?
Don't worry.
I want you to go over me very carefully. If you're absolutely satisfied that I'm dead, you can go ahead with the funeral. But I don't want my body embalmed. I don't want anything done to me except to put me in a coffin. Getting a lawyer here to write all this down this afternoon, Rutledge. But I wanted you to hear it, too. I want my coffin put in the vault down by the birch woods. That's why I built the vault right on this property, so that nobody would ever bury me underground.
All right. It'll be done just as you say.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not finished. This is the most important part. I want a large brass bell placed on the wall over the bed where Ramsey and Martha sleep. I want wires connected from that bell to the vault. Electric wires.
What for?
I want a push button attached to the ends of those wires, and I want the button placed in my hands as I lie in the coffin, so that in case I'm not dead, in case I awaken, I can ring the bell and let them know.
Well, I must say, Alex...
I don't care what you say. I don't care what anyone says. That's the way I want it.
All right, Alex. That's the way you'll get it.
Make sure I do.
Well, I've got to run over to the Pritchards. Nora's having another baby. Taking that digitalis faithfully?
Yeah. Foolishness. But I'm taking it.
That's good. Goodbye, Alex. Get out and soak up some of that sunshine. I'll see you Thursday.
Send Martha in. Alone.
All right.
Just a minute there. Dr. Rutledge?
Oh. Hello, Ramsey.
I'd like to know why you came this morning, Doctor.
I came because I was sent for.
Why doesn't somebody tell me when the doctor's been sent for? Is my uncle all right?
He's not dead, if that's what you want to know. Not quite yet. Hmm. See that he keeps on taking that prescription I left. He wants to see your wife. Alone.
Martha?
You heard me. Goodbye, Ramsey. I know the way out without your help.
Goodbye, Dr. Rutledge. Mother, wipe your hands. He wants to see you.
What did you say, dear?
I said wipe your hands. He wants to see you.
Is the doctor still in there? Is he all right?
The doctor's gone. He wants you in there. Alone.
Oh, for goodness sake. Now what?
Just a minute. Why is he asking to see you alone?
Why, Ramsey? How should I know?
Something's up. Rutledge was in there a long time. Why wasn't I told he was sent for?
Why, he... Well, you were in the field this morning when he asked me to call the doctor.
Next time you tell me when he sends for people. And listen, when you get in there, watch what you say.
Why, Ramsey, I don't know what you mean.
You know very well what I mean. Just listen. And don't babble. He mightn't like my ideas about what to do with this place after he's dead. Go on in there now. You've already wiped your hands 6 times.
Yes, Ramsey, dear. You want me, Uncle Alec?
Yes, come in and shut the door, Martha.
Yes, Uncle Alec. Was the coffee all right this morning?
Yes, fine. Miss Ramsey.
He's in the kitchen.
Sit down, Martha.
Yes, Uncle Alec.
I want to talk to you, Martha. Lawyer Gaines will be here sometime this afternoon to fix up my will.
Oh, Uncle Alec.
Got a feeling my time is drawing near, Martha. And I just want to make sure that worthless nephew of mine doesn't get his hands on the Jordan place. Whatever made you marry him, Martha?
Why, I...
Never mind. None of my business. But I could have told you he was no good. Never has been. I wouldn't trust him with the farm. He'd sell it before my body turned cold. But I trust you, Martha.
Thank you, Uncle Atlas.
Yes, I've thought it all over. I'm going to leave the place to you. At least you'll have a roof over your head and some land you can call your own. You like it here, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. I'd be perfectly happy to stay here the rest of my life.
And that's fine, because it's going to be yours. All of it.
Oh, Uncle Al. You make me want to cry.
No, none of that.
I'm sorry.
There's one more thing, Martha. One important thing.
Yes, Uncle Alec.
I've given Dr. Rutledge some very careful instructions about my burial.
Oh, please, Uncle Alec.
Nothing to be afraid of, Martha. When it comes, it'll come, and that's all. Rutledge knows what to do. He'll tell you. And I want you to promise me that you'll follow the instructions.
Yes, of course, Uncle Alec, on my word of honor. As God is my witness.
Thank you, Martha. By Jove, you've made me feel a good deal better knowing I have someone around I can trust. Matter of fact, I think I'll get up for supper tonight. Tell Ramsey to come in and help me dress after Lawyer Gaines leaves. Tell him I don't want him in here before then.
Yes, Uncle Alec.
And don't breathe a word about this to Ramsey.
I won't. If you need anything, Uncle Alec, call me.
Yes, I will.
Well, what did the old buzzard want?
His lawyer's coming this afternoon. You're to go in and help him dress after the lawyer leaves.
He's having supper at the table?
Yes. Bring in one of the special hams. I'll bake it with pineapple.
Will you take your 10 minutes in there to decide on baked ham with pineapple for supper?
What we decided is none of your business.
What do you mean, what you decided?
I said it was none of your business. Better get out and feed the chicken.
When did you start giving me orders?
Oh, go on out of my kitchen. I've got work to do.
What did you talk about in there?
Ramsey, you're hurting my arm.
I'll hurt more than that before I'm through. What's the lawyer coming for?
Would you like me to tell him you haven't fed chickens yet?
Something suddenly made you awfully cocky, it seems to me. Tell me what it is. Right now.
Ramsey!
Tell me, I said.
Ramsey!
Let go of her, Ramsey!
Oh!
I was only... Get out of the house before I lose my temper! Go on, kid!
I'm going.
this ever happens again, Martha, you let me know.
Yes, Uncle Alex, but you shouldn't have gotten out of bed this way.
Oh, don't worry about me, Martha. I'm all right.
Bacon and eggs for his breakfast.
And why not? Did you fix the fence post over on the west pasture?
Never mind the fence post. Give me that tray.
You attend to your own business. I'll take the tray into him. Your breakfast, Uncle Alec? That's funny. Uncle Alec? Uncle Alex! Oh, my Lord! Francis! Oh, Dr. Rutledge! Francis!
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he have everlasting life. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What's the matter with Martha, Doctor?
The funeral was evidently too much for her. I gave her a sedative and put her to bed upstairs. Where's the undertaker?
Down at the vault with the electrician. They're waiting for you so they can close the coffin. Of all the stupid things, he's dead, isn't he?
Yes, but we're observing his wishes to the letter.
Brass bells and electric push buttons rot.
Perhaps it is, but that's how he wanted it. And incidentally, as administrator of the estate, let me remind you that according to the terms of the will, either you or Martha must remain within earshot of that bell upstairs for 7 days. You understand that?
Yes, to my life. I'm beholden to a woman. That.
You could do worse, Ramsey. This is a nice place. I wish it were mine.
If I had my way, you could buy it in a minute.
Well, that's neither here nor there. See that Martha gets some rest. I left a bottle of medicine on the small table beside the bed. She's to take it according to directions if she has trouble sleeping.
Good Lord, what's that?
Your uncle wanted a bell loud enough to be heard. He certainly got it.
Doctor.
The undertaker or the electrician at the crypt touched the push button.
Dancy!
Good Lord, I forgot. The bell hung right above the bed where she was asleep. Come on.
Oh, Dancy! Dr. Rutledge, the bell!
Oh, it doesn't mean anything, Martha. Don't be frightened.
Oh, thank goodness. I was asleep. It hit me like a blow when it rang. For a moment, I couldn't even move. I felt paralyzed like in a dream.
There, that's all right. Go on back to bed. You fall asleep again with the stuff I gave you. The bell won't ring anymore. I'll go right on down to the vault and see if the coffin's closed. Get her back into bed, Ramsey, and let her have another teaspoonful of that medicine tonight.
You just get over to the vault and stop their monkeying. I'll tend to her.
See that you do. And remember, don't leave this place for 7 days.
Oh, what's the use?
Is it morning,
Ramsey?
No. Can't you go to sleep?
No.
I'm asleep.
Sure, you've got things your own way. Go on, sleep. Don't mind me. I'm just a hired man around here, just a hired man. Can't you at least make a cup of coffee a man can drink? Slop, that's what it is, filthy slop.
I haven't been able to get into town and get anything fresh, Ramsey, and you know it. It's just that you're nervous and not sleeping.
I'll drive you to town.
No, Ramsey. We've still got 5 days to go.
Why, 3 nights of it now. 3 nights with that bell hanging over my head. Oh. Martha, you asleep? It must be that stuff Rutledge gave her. I'll take some. I can't stand it any longer. Now, maybe. Maybe I'll sleep. I tell you, Martha, there's only one thing to do with the place. Sell it.
You're wasting your time, Ramsey. I will not sell it. Oh. I'm not getting any younger. I want a roof over my head. That's what Uncle Alex intended.
But now's the time to sell farms. We can get a good price.
To begin with, Ramsey, it doesn't even belong to me.
Well, it will in 2 more days, won't it?
Yes. If that bell doesn't ring.
Oh. Oh, I've got to sleep tonight. It's the last night. Tomorrow, the place is ours. I'll take some of that medicine that worked before.
I won't sell the place, man. I won't sell.
Talking in her sleep.
I won't sell.
She's dreaming. Having a nightmare. Too much of this dope, maybe. Your mother, wake up. Martha! She's dead to the world. The stuff Huggins gave her must be powerful. That gives me an idea.
Don't trust you, Ramsey. No, dear.
You won't have to trust me much longer, you dried up old fool. No. Let's have a look at the little bottle. I guess it's all right to turn the lamp on. She won't wake up. There. Don't see what the label says. Maximum dose, 1 teaspoonful every 12 hours. Caution, overdosing may be fatal. Overdosing may be fatal, eh?
Sell it your life.
We'll see about that. Maximum dose, 1 teaspoonful. I could put 3 in her coffee tomorrow morning. She'd never know the difference. That stale coffee's bitter as gall anywhere, and that fits everything. Yes, I'm her only relative. If she dies, I get the place. Oh, why didn't I think of this before? Why did I wait 6 days and nights with that bell hanging over my head? Why did I? Oh, good Lord! Am I dreaming? No, no! It can't be. It can't. Stop. Stop that ringing.
Ramsey. Ramsey. The bell.
I can hear it, you fool.
Quick. Ramsey.
Stay where you are. I'll stop it.
Ramsey. What did you do?
What do you think I did?
The wires. You pulled out the wires.
Get back into bed.
Are you out of your mind? The key to the vault. Where is it?
What?
The key. Uncle Alex must be
alive. You're
crazy. He rang the bell, didn't he?
You were dreaming. Get back to bed.
Give me that vault key, Ramsey. Give it to me.
Now, take it easy.
Don't stand there telling me to take it easy. Uncle Alex may be fighting for breath, breathing against the coffin. Get the key.
All right. I'll go down there.
I'll go with you.
Doesn't need 2 people. Just let me get into my clothes.
I don't trust you, Ramsey.
You've got no right to say a thing like that, Martha. What difference does it make to me whether Alex is alive or dead? I don't stand against anything. He left the Jordan place to you. Oh, now, where did I put that key? Must be in this drawer.
Hurry, Ramsey.
I'm hurrying. Here it is.
You took something else out of that drawer, Ramsey.
I did not. Just the key. What's the matter with you anyway? Where are my shoes?
Under the bed. I'll be watching you from the window, Ramsey. If Uncle Alice is alive, yell to me. And I'll phone Dr. Rutledge.
Storm coming up. That wind's from the east. Now, let's see if this key fits. Fits all right, but it won't turn. Ah, there we are. Now, where's that light switch? Here it is. Yeah, that's better. Oh, it's foul in here. It smells dead. There's the coffin. Hope they didn't screw down the lid. No, it comes right up. Yeah. He hasn't moved. He's dead. Yes, just the way he was when they put him in there. With his hands folded over the bowman. He didn't ring that bell. Who did? Oh, now I know. The storm. Lightning shorted the wire. Sure, that's what it was. Must have been. Still, I think I'd better make sure while I'm down here. Yes. Oh, Martha almost caught me taking this darning needle out of the drawer. I'll work it under his shirt and jab it through his heart. You're going to stay dead, Uncle Alex, no matter what happens.
Sandy!
Martha! You followed me.
I told you I didn't trust you. What are you doing with that darning needle in your hand?
Nothing.
Get out of the way. Let me look at him.
Dead. Stone dead.
Who rang the bell?
Well, how did I know? Maybe his ghost.
You were about to do something with that needle. What?
You really want to know? All right. I'll tell you. I was going to jab it through his black heart. I was going to make sure he was dead. And I'm still going to do it.
Ramsey, you're out of your mind.
Am I? We'll see.
Keep away from that coffin.
Shut up.
I'll scream, Ramsey. The Prestons will hear me.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Help! Help!
Oh, so that's who it is. Wait till I close this door. Now scream your lungs out.
Ramsey, don't do anything you'll regret.
Regret? Why waste this needle on old dead Alex? I might do much better using it on you. Jab into your heart.
Ramsey!
Why not? Then I get to own the place and sell it.
Ramsey! Listen to me.
I listened to you plenty these last few weeks. Ever since he made you the high and mighty boss. But now, it's my turn.
Ramsey!
I'll never find you down here. No! No, you'll dry up and rot! Just like he's rocking in that coffin.
Ramsey! No! Ramsey!
Fainted before I could touch her. Wait a minute. That gives me an idea. There's a better way of doing it. Carry her up to the house. Pour that medicine down her throat. Give her an overdose. She'll be dead by morning. And no one can pin it on me. Oh, this is beautiful. Everything's working out fine. You're going to be rich, Ramsey. You're rich. Get the door open first, and then... Lord, the key's on the outside. And it's a snap lock. No! No! Oh, what am I going to do? I'm locked in here. Can't get out. The door's solid open. 6 inches thick. There are no windows. Where? Well, the push button's in his hands. I keep ringing it. Yes, sooner or later, someone will hear it. Yeah, this should do it. The Prestons or the MacArthurs, they're bound to hear it and investigate. I'll keep ringing it all night. In the bedroom. I ripped them out. The bell won't ring.
trapped in here! I'm trapped! Trapped!
The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan, starring Mr. Edmund Gwenn. For our next exploration into the darkness of the human mind, I have invited the celebrated exponent of the Mysterioso, Peter Laura, to be our guest. So join with us when once again we raise the shadowy curtain of the unknown and look deep into the souls of men. Until then, this is your master of mystery, Dr. X, leaving you with Creeps by Night. Creeps by Night is produced by Robert Maxwell. Original music composed by Paul Creston, conducted by Joseph Stopak. Supporting Mr. Gwen in tonight's presentation were Everett Sloan as Alexander Jordan, Abby Lewis as Martha, Gregory Morton as Dr. Rutledge, and Dr. X as himself. Edmund Gwen appeared to the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, whose 20-year anniversary picture, The White Cliffs of Dover, is currently being released. George Gunn speaking. This is the Blue Network.
Thank you for listening to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Join us again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAP.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sasquatch Report.